Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry here on Blog Talk Radio. It's a blessing to have you join me at this particular hour for this special teaching that I'm giving on the Mwamba World Outreach. We had a wonderful time at church, blessing the Lord and praising Him. Today, it was a great day. Well, suffice to say, we had a lot of rain too. It poured down like crazy, like they say, crazy. Well, it poured down. We had quite some rain. But anyway, we are here to build God's kingdom. We are here to bless the work of the Lord. We are here to reach out to as many people as we can because, you know, we are approaching what we call the end times. Eschatologically, when I say eschatologically, I mean speaking of eschatological stuff is end time things. You know, like the book of Revelation. At church, we are dealing with the book of Revelation. That is part of eschatology. But, you know, it's showing that we're really getting close to the end. But, you know, thank God that because of His grace, we'll be ready for that end. And that God is going to give us the grace to reach as many people as we can. This is the time to reach for as many souls as we can. You know, we got two destinations, whether you like it or not. There is heaven to gain and hell to shun. If ever anybody gets to hell, they would have gone there by their own volition. Because the desire and will of God is that every one of us go to heaven. And so, it's our mandate to reach as many people and populate heaven and empty hell. Let the devil be there alone in hell. Why should you perish? When you have life, the more you have life, the longer you live, the more time you have to make a choice for the Lord. You know, I've traveled extensively myself. I've been to Europe. I've been to the Netherlands. I've been to Amsterdam. There in the Netherlands, in Holland. I lived in Utrecht. I've been to Ermelo. I ministered greatly in street evangelism in Amsterdam. I've been to South Wales. I visited Cardiff. I preached in Cardiff. I ministered in Port Talbot, South Wales. Then I went to Sweden. I preached a lot in Sweden. I've been to Vagada, to Kumla, to Henne, to Alingsås. I've proved and moved in London itself, ministered in London. But one thing that strikes me is the laissez-faire attitude of people concerning the things of God. What I mean by laissez-faire attitude, I don't care kind of an attitude. There is that fire to serve God is gone. That fire to seek the face of God is gone. See, this is time for us to love God, to build the kingdom of God at every cost. God is going to hold us responsible if people perish and we have the ability to win them and bring them to the kingdom. You see, like me, here in America, I put up a Bible school. We have a Bible school, Word of Life Bible College, online. In fact, tomorrow is our second semester running. And I do my best to teach. I do my best, even though my body is cracking up, you know, because of hard work. I work. There was a time I had working two jobs to get my ends meet. But you know what? God's grace has abounded all my life that even when I'm very exhausted, I still do the will of God. I get a shower, I refresh myself, I go through the word, I listen to music, worship music to keep my spirit alive and kicking so that by the time I'm broadcasting, I'm fresh with the manna from heaven. Well, beloved ones, if you want to join our Bible school, just go to the Facebook page and look for Word of Life Bible College, and there leave a message for me and say, Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba, I would like to join the Word of Life Bible College and become a student there. We have a one-year program running and we'll be very more than pleased to have you as a student. Well, friends, today I'm sharing from the Word of God in the book of 2 Samuel and chapter number 1. Now, when you read in 2 Samuel chapter number 1, here we find a story of the death of King Saul. You know, David was anointed to become king of Israel, and the only obstacle in the way was Saul. But you see, the thing is, King Saul had lost his opportunity to re-lead the children of Israel because of his disobedience. You see, Samuel had told him, wait for me, you know, so that we can come and give sacrifice to the Lord in preparation for you to go out to after the barrow and, you know, to just bless God and thank him for all that he has done for you in the defeat of the Amalekites. But you see, King Saul, instead, he jumped into an office that was not his. You see, this is the danger of you as a child of God, a man of God, doing or getting into the call that God has not called you to. See, King Saul was a king and not a prophet. So the sacrificing of a sacrifice to God was the responsibility of the prophet Samuel. That's why he told him to wait. But instead, King Saul went ahead and gave the sacrifice. When the man of God came and said, hey, what happened to the sacrifice? He said, I did it. Why? Why couldn't you wait? You know, I thought you were not coming. And ABC, he had gone in the wrong office. From then on, the kingdom of God was taken away from him. God said through Samuel says, you no more king. The kingdom of God has been taken away from you. And so from then we saw a decline in the life of King Saul, and he started going downhill. See, every time you gamble around with the things of God and start to do things which are unseemly, you begin to tumble and you begin to head down the hill. And eventually what happened was this man, the anointing was lifted off him and placed on David, because Samuel was taught by God to go to the family of Jesse and anoint himself a king. And so Samuel left and went and found Jesse, and he looked at his sons. Apparently at that time David was not there, but he asked the Lord, is the Lord anointed here? The Lord said no. Until Samuel then asked Jesse, says, there, do you have any more sons? He said, yeah, I have one. He's out looking, tending after the sheep. He says, no, we cannot sit or rest. Bring him in. They brought David, and the anointing of the Lord was upon him for king. So he anointed him from a tender age. And we see the story of how David defeated the Goliath, and how women began to sing and say, David has defeated his tenth of thousand, while Saul his thousand. And when Saul heard that, he knew. He says, how can the women give praise to David? This just means that even as they give him praise, he has taken over the kingdom of God. And so we see here now that it was getting very serious, to the extent that everybody realized and knew that David was going to become king. Listen, no matter how much people push you, no matter how much people try to block you from getting that which belongs to you, they cannot manage. As long as God has anointed you and given you an assignment, that assignment must be accomplished. Nobody else is going to accomplish it but you. So no matter what they do, no matter how they fight to block you, they cannot, when God's anointing is upon your life. So we see here David, the king, he's now running away from King Saul, and King Saul has gone to fight in a battle against the Amalekites, second time. And as the battle was going on, the battle raged. That means it became fierce, to the extent that he was shot. By an arrow, King Saul was shot. His son, his hair was caught in some a branch of a tree, because he had long hair, Jonathan. And somebody shot him with a spear and he died. But then you see, with King Saul, when they shot him, he didn't actually fully die. And then as the war or the battle was going on, he didn't want any embarrassment. And so he turned onto his own spear and fell upon his own sword and died. At that time, there was an Amalekite looking and seeing these things happening. I think he was on the side of the Amalekites who were fighting against the children of Israel. So he runs over. He says, whoa, he thought to himself, this is the time I can get something from King David. Let me take this news to him and tell him I killed King Saul. And so he takes the crown off the head of the king and takes off the sword and runs to David. And then David sees this guy coming. That's where we are there in 2 Samuel chapter number 1, reading from verse 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag, it came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. And so it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? And he said unto him, out of the camp of Israel I'm escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. And Saul and Jonathan, his son, are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan, his son, be dead? And the young man that told him said, as I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, here am I. And he said unto me, who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish is come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head and the bracelet that was on his hand, the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them thither unto my lord. Then David took hold on his clothes and rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And they mourned and wept and fasted until even for Saul and for Jonathan his son, and for the people of the Lord and for the house of Israel, because they were fallen by the sword. And David said unto the young man that told him, whence art thou? And he answered, I am the son of a stranger, an Amalekite. And David said unto him, how wast thou not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? And David called one of his young men and said, go near and fall upon him. And he smote him that he died. And David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I've slain the Lord's anointed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Look, here is this guy, an Amalekite, lying. The title of my message today is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba Presents the Price of Deception. You see, being a liar does not help. When you begin to lie to people, just know that lies will come back to you. You see, when you lie and lie and lie, through your lies, eventually you're going to say the truth, which will be a lie about your lies. See, deception or having two faces is a dangerous thing for people to do, especially in the kingdom of God. This man did not kill King Saul. Like I said in my introduction, King Saul died by himself. He committed suicide. He was shot, fine, by the enemy. But then he finished off his own life by falling on his own sword. You understand? But then this guy, having another concept in his head, he said, well, if I take the crown from this man and the bracelet, like he said, and then take it to King David and say, you know, I finished this man off, and realizing I think King Saul is an enemy of David, David is going to reward me. You see, when you walk in paths of deception, you are digging your own grave or your own end. Deceiving people in ministry, lying, getting money through false pretense, lying, using people through false pretense, and promising them things you cannot provide, a liar, praying who can crook amongst people, amongst members, to try and get favoritism amongst them. That's trickishness. That is absurd. That is Ichabod. I had some fellas in my ministry playing around with members. People were very well-to-do, very rich with businesses. They had gas stations. They had supermarkets. They were my members in Indola. But then I had deceiving pastors who would be pastoring among them and then lying to these members and then taking their money and then doing all sorts of things you can think of. Listen, when you start to play a game in the kingdom of God, just know that your days are numbered. You don't lie your way up to the throne. You don't lie your way up to a reward. Lies are the weakest foundation you can ever make in your life because it will collapse under you. You understand? To tell the truth. Because once you tell the truth, in fact, you don't have to remember exactly what you said. The truth is the truth. You say it the same way. But when you lie, you got to remember the lie that you lied last month and say it the same way you lied. And you cannot be exactly the same. You're going to twist your words and eventually your lie will find you out. This man lied to King David that he had killed King Saul when he had not. And because of his words, David said it. He said, and David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy head, for thy mouth has testified against thee, saying, I've slain the Lord's anointed. This man killed somebody with his mouth. He never actually laid hands on King Saul. He lied about it. But you see, the words you speak as good as reality to the people who are hearing you. We got all these politicians saying a lot of things about what they are going to do. And their words are costing them tremendously. People talking about bundling people and sending them off to Mexico. Bundling people, sending them off to wherever they came from. Such words, you know, you trigger something in people. Number one, you trigger fear. Number two, you trigger anger. Even if you know you cannot build that wall, but because of what you said, you know, it becomes detrimental. People are going to look at you in a different light. Lies do not pay. Now, somebody said politicians are the biggest liars. At least be the truthful one, maybe. You know, when you speak the truth, it will help you. So what do we learn here? This young Amalekite played the wrong key. He went into all this and thought he was going to gain out of it, but he lost it all, including his own life. Lies will cost you your life. It's a warning. Let us be truthful. When we stand in the pulpit and speak words, let them be true. See, me, when I stood in the pulpit and spoke to my people in Zambia, and I said, I'm building the church, all the money I raised went to the church. When I stood in the pulpit and told them, look, I'm building the Bible school, all the money I raised went to the Bible school. When I stood in the pulpit and told them, hey, look, your bishop is getting on television, I'm going to have the Zambia National Broadcasting Corporation outside broadcast van come and record me here, it was the truth. And they came and recorded me at Luanshya City Council. What am I saying, friends? What I'm saying is we have a God that hears. We have a God and the Holy Spirit who sees and he listens to what we say. And people are very, see, don't think people are foolish. People mark your words. People watch what you say. People look forward to see the fruit of what you say. There are many people who tell lies. Hey, I'm with you. I'll be with you in the thick and thin. And it's a lie. And then there are people who also are very good at stealing members. You go to people. Somebody has got people committed to him in a vision. You be so much of a sweet talker. You take those key people that person wants to use in his ministry, and they become your members, and you think you're clever. Eventually, you're stealing of people who get back to you. Somebody say, well, let them go. If they go, God did not plan to work with me and all that. No, but you still got to look after your own people. You see what I'm saying? You see, Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them was an Ichabod. Judas Iscariot sold the Lord Jesus Christ. He remained with the 11. And with the 11 men, he managed to implant into them the vision of the world and implanted into him the teachings of the ministry. They became mighty apostles and won the kingdom to Christ. See, even up to today, that's why we are here as Christians, because of the words they wrote, the Gospels, the epistles by the Apostle Paul. My point is, when God is building a church, he will build a church with people. But you see, when you're a nucleus, I mean the beginning of the thing, you need trusted people, not people who are going to sell you out. That's where it is very, very dicey to find that core individuals who are going to stand with you in a vision and say, Bishop Mwamba, I'm with you here in winning the city for Jesus. There are people, they'll show you their face, they'll smile at you, they'll say something. When they know in their heart they are not with you, they want you to fail. Pastors across the board, who are they? They see you. That's why, you know, I've come to realize you don't go with your friends to a particular church if you think you don't want them be part and parcel. Because, you know, these deceitful people, they will get to your people, talk them in, and steal them away from you. Now, you somebody say, well, maybe you don't have a message. That's why they steal them away. No, people gravitate by lies. People lie their way into things. People have gained kingdoms by lying. You see what I'm saying? People have gotten to the top of the echelons of society through lies. So lies can buy your way through, although it is limited. But you see, the thing is, by the time you come to realize these are lies and somebody is deceitful, damage has already been done. See? So, we have to look for people who are faithful, people who follow you in the thick and thin, people who commit themselves to the vision of the house. We don't want liars. I don't want liars near me. People who are two-faced, they look at you, they say, hey, Bishop, we are here to build the kingdom. But on the other hand, they want you to fail. They want you to lose out. They want you to go into oblivion. You know? I've seen dynamic young pastors like this Nigerian pastor. He's up in some European country there. I don't know if it's Ukraine or where. But this guy from Nigeria, he has built a powerful church there in Europe, in a Scandinavian country, I think. And he has learned to speak their language up in Europe. And he's got thousands of members. So we are saying, the moment you begin to climb up, as long as the anointing is upon your life, no matter who lies about you, God will still take you up. But my point is, let's be careful. From the very beginnings of a nucleus group that is going to thrust in revival, we do not need liars. Deception cost this guy his life. And deception will cost you your reward in heaven. You go lying from ministry to ministry to ministry, from pastor to pastor to pastor, to a vision, and be truthful and be a person who says your yea is yea and your nay is nay. That's what Jesus said. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Well, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife Tarina Mwamba here in Dallas, Texas, signing off and saying God bless you. We talk to you again and bye-bye.